Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Very soon, the time will tell.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Man, I hate live recordings.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that's okay. Had been selected.
I just, like, some people love them. Kiss Alive 2, you know what? I'm just like, I love live music. I love seeing it. I love playing it. But I don't know. Maybe I just don't like bad recordings of live music.
Maybe that's the key, is the quality of the recording.
Yeah. We're playing that song in the band, and we're working it up. We never played it before. And Dave Cowles sent me the Dukes of September. They're like a super group, kind of Steely Dan and Doobie Brothers and a bunch of like great session musicians. And they did it, but they did it weird and funky, like gospel music. It was really cool. Yeah. Kind of want to do it
that way.
It's
a twist.
Yeah. I'm excited to play again.
You got to grow the beard out and be Michael McDonald?
Yeah. That's so funny because as a singer, I'm actually a little more of a mimic than I am a singer, if that makes any sense.
Gotcha, yeah.
And last night driving home, I was trying to do Michael McDonald, which is it's fun. Like when you're by yourself in your car, like, you know, there's no one.
No judging.
Oh, yeah.
No one judging you.
Let it rip.
Yeah, just let it rip. It was fun.
You don't know me, but I...
Yeah, it's like you have to find a different place in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time I've heard him, I'm like, is he even saying words?
Right.
It just feels like he's making noise.
Yeah.
Got to jut out the lower jaw a little bit.
It's almost like you're about to throw up when you're like, ooh. You know, you're like, I don't. Yeah, so Black Friday, we're going to get that gig settled. We'll be playing a matinee gig like 4 to 8 Black Friday. Be there.
Nice.
You'll be there.
I don't know.
Oh, that's right. You may be gone.
I may be out of town.
Yeah.
I got to travel for every damn holiday, so like that's just the rule.
Yeah, that's what happens when you leave home, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yep, you got family in different places, and you got two separate families, and they're all in different places, so you're always going somewhere.
Yeah.
And we're like the Lone Rangers out here in the Wild West.
Yeah.
We're the only ones in this area, so nobody's coming here.
Yeah.
We've had people here for one holiday one time in 19 years.
Yeah, get it.
Yep.
I always wondered, I guess I'm at that point now, like Maureen and Phoebe and I were having dinner the other night. We were talking about Thanksgiving and she was like, well, what, you know, like if Nick and Bree end up getting married and like, how's it all going to work? And I'm like, well, when you're young, you have to go to everyone's
house. You go to both. Yeah.
You go to both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're in the same, as long as you're in the same town.
Yeah.
You know, we got a trade off. We like 1 year's Thanksgiving in Susan's family and Christmas in mine. And then the next year we flip them. You just kind of keep doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for years it was two meals. And like Maureen's dad was, I loved him. He was great. God rest his soul. But we would like go to my house first and eat. And then you go to their house and like, oh, come on, bull crap, you're going to eat, you know? And you're just like, oh my God, I literally can't.
Yeah, I've never done the two meal day. I never even had a chance.
Oh my God, we've always done it.
That's crazy.
At least two meals.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like a third place for dessert or something
that.
Yeah. Which is fun.
Yeah, it does sound like fun. You get the early game for one house and the late game for another house.
I gotta respect the people who do Friendsgiving like the same week as Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, it sounds lovely on one hand. On the other hand, it also seems exhausting and that I would be like completely Thanksgivinged out at that point.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad because we typically have Thanksgiving here at the office. I think it's actually the day before, like Thanksgiving
Eve. Somewhere
Eve.
Around there. We have that potluck.
And I never eat because I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah.
It's, you know what I mean? It's like I typically only have Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving. I don't know if I've ever made a turkey in April, you know, which is stupid.
I know.
It's just a bird.
I always think that on Thanksgiving.
Just a big chicken.
Mm-hmm. Like we should do this again in a couple months. And then we never do.
Yeah.
But we do it for Christmas, though. Our family does the same thing. Thanksgiving dinner on Christmas. Most of the time.
Yeah, I guess we did, too.
Yeah.
We were big. The Glovers are ham people.
Yeah, okay.
I like ham.
Part of our family is, and the other part's not.
And I'm iffy on ham. It's a situational
same.
Thing.
Honestly, it's got to be really good.
Hard same.
But, like, I love like diced ham and eggs over Chris's.
Oh, okay.
Ham sandwich is okay, but just, like, slicing off a big hunk of ham and eating it. Like,
yeah, baby. No, thank you.
It's really? Gotta be, yeah.
No, thank you.
It's got to be the famous one that it's for me. What's the honey-baked one?
Oh, honey-baked ham.
It's got to be that. If it's not that, I'm probably not in.
Yeah.
Man, I love ham. I like whenever you get like a piece of the like rind of the ham and it's real chewy. I'm like,
yeah.
Ham fat is especially bad.
Oh no, it's not.
Real man, you're a ham girl.
Especially wonderful.
There.
I like ham fat.
You're
There's
no
something...
longer a razor. You're ham fat.
Ham fat.
Ham fat.
Ham fat.
Because she loves ham fat.
Or ham rind, one of the two.
It just keeps getting better and better for me.
Time for ham fat touch? Rich, time for ham fat touch? I like when you get the citrusy ham, and then the ham rind has a little like orange juice baked into it.
Right.
It's like a chewy, chewy zest. I don't know how to explain it, but I don't like it, but I have like a sick enjoyment of it, you know?
Yeah. One of my favorite Thanksgivings, I think, was 2 years ago. You guys will remember when I got most of Thanksgiving dinner from Capital.
Yes.
But they forgot to put turkey in, or I forgot to ask.
It was like all sides.
And so Phoebe and I went to QT, and we got like 12 hot dogs. So we had hot dogs and dressing, and it was pretty fun.
I'm not the biggest turkey person. That actually sounds like an upgrade to me. All the Thanksgiving trimmings, but then your main protein is a QT hot dog.
It wasn't bad.
I wouldn't be mad. I'd be pretty excited for that.
I was thinking about... last night, how much, when I was a kid, and even as an adult, how much I loved bars. Like, I'm not a big drinker. I was for about 5 years in my 20s, and then it just kind of stopped. I mean, I'm not sober or anything like that. I just don't like getting drunk anymore. But I still love a bar. And I mean like an old bar. Like a wood, dark bar with Schlitz signs and... I remember going, like, when we'd go to the American Legion on Fridays to get fish, and I'd go, my dad would let me go up with, like, a $5 bill to get our sodas, and every time the bartender would be like, get you a highball? And I'd be like, I'm too young, you know, just like. And I know now they have, like, non-alcohol bars. I don't need that, but I just kind of miss the aesthetic.
I understand.
Yeah.
I like a mocktail.
That's what we did.
Yeah, during the U.S. Open, I was like, all during the U.S. Open for tennis, they're drinking those honey deuces. And I'm like, man, those look good, but I don't want to drink alcohol. I'm just not a big day drinker at all. I don't drink much. I'm like you, Dave. So we just made them mocktail style. What a delight to have a cocktail with no alcohol in it. Mm. Highly recommend.
What makes it a cocktail versus, I don't know, something else?
What do you mean?
Like... does it have to have a certain number of ingredients, or is it like I'm having orange juice?
Yeah, I think it's just the cocktail without the alcohol, right?
Is it just like the mix? But I'm like, it's because it's mixed up. Like you maybe have seltzer water in there or whatever.
Yeah, mean like what makes it a mocktail, rather?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I wouldn't call an orange juice a mocktail, but yeah, I think it's just you're mixing
like
a couple
multiple
things
juices
together.
And some. All right, gotcha. That sounds good though.
It was yummy.
It sounds like a thing I would definitely want to do at home. But I wouldn't want to pay $15 for it if I was out
there. Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Like, wait, pineapple juice, orange juice, lemon juice, and some seltzer, and you want to pay $15? Sorry.
Can you guys help me on my show prep?
Hello.
Hi.
Wow.
How you doing?
Sorry.
On my show prep last night, I wrote down Andrew 30%. Does that mean anything to anybody?
30%.
I'm stumped. And he's on the phone, so he can't tell me.
Well, it rang, so.
Was it about the show yesterday, do you think?
I don't know. It's one of the first things I wrote down last night.
Hmm.
Okay, what's the question? I'm sorry.
I wrote down Andrew 30%.
Ooh, okay.
Did it ring a bell?
Let's see. 30%. No.
Yeah, me either.
Not really. Was I doing 30% of something? Was I talking 30% of something? What did we do on the show yesterday?
Yeah, no, it'll come to me, I guess.
This could actually be a hell of a game show.
Right.
Take your list and just ask us, what does Dave mean by this? Yeah. And we can just try to write down and see if we can get it.
Yeah. I also needed to clarify, yesterday, Wheels, I did a segment, little story, about how dolphins are washing up on the beach in Miami-Dade and they have Alzheimer's. And the people in Miami-Dade have the highest incidence of Alzheimer's, and they think it could be because of neurotoxins in the water.
Oh.
And I had three people email me last night, three, and say, what are the dolphins doing to let people know that they have Alzheimer's? Like, well, they're dead. Like they're,
they're doing an autopsy.
It's an autopsy. Yeah. Like, I think they pictured like dolphins like not making any sense.
And I get you. Yeah.
Getting lost in the beach.
Yeah.
I didn't quite have to answer that. I kind of wanted to make fun of him, but then I didn't. So it was about Alzheimer's.
You refrained.
I refrained. Yeah. They
really, until now.
Shot me a bounce pass. Man, I saw some. This is exactly the kind of thing I'm into. The woo-woo kind of stuff. I've never done anything stronger than cannabis. I'm very intrigued by psilocybin and things like that from a mental health standpoint, but I wouldn't want to just do it in my house. I would want to do it like, you know, with supervision. But I saw this story about a guy who, when he was in college, smoked salvia, mm-hmm. which I'm not even sure what that is, but I know it's next level. And he said he took a hit of it, and by the time he exhaled, his friends were watching him, and he was only out of it for about 7 minutes. But he says, and he's now in his 50s, he said that during that 7 minutes, he lived an entire lifetime. He was a child, he was a grown-up, he had a wife, he had kids, he was old, and he said that he's never shaken it. He said it's not like a dream. He said, I had a life, and that life was as real to me as this one is. And he said, in some ways, it was better. And he spent his whole natural life, you know, 30, 40 years, lamenting the fact that he's no longer in his drug-induced life. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
There was a Star Trek Next Generation, I forget what it's called, something, and Picard goes down to a planet, and the planet's dying or dead, and they wanted to tell him their story, and so he lived a whole life on that planet and had a wife and kids and the whole thing, then woke up on, you know, Starship Enterprise. But that's just such an interesting concept to me. I think there's a Rick and Morty about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds awful.
Yeah, I don't know that
to
I would
like
want
to. 30 years of regret.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, your real life never measures up to your fake drug life. That seems like a reason to avoid that drug.
Matrix Hypnosis says it's not all that crazy, not from the perspective of a past life regression hypnotist, that is. I think Matrix needs to come in here and regress Andrew.
So maybe that was a previous life?
Yeah.
Instead of like a lived one.
A drug-induced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, assuming that past lives are a thing, do you guys think you're new or you had past lives? You know what I'm saying? Like, is this your first run at it?
Okay, if there are past lives, and if what your job is to grow and evolve as a person, I would say the life I'm living now would be about 60% the way through to my enlightenment. Like, I think that I've learned a lot of lessons this life. Had it kind of hard, learned a lot of lessons. It's not over yet. So I feel like, although this life has had a lot of anxiety and heartbreak in it, that if that's really what we're doing, that I've passed halfway, which feels okay. But I don't think I'm like, oh, now I'm going to Nirvana after this because I've just killed it. Like, nothing more for me to learn here. So, although I would like to know what Andrew 30% means. Guys, DGS on KMOX. Zachary James says, I like the fact that you guys play the local spots during commercials. I'm a nerdy radio guy who likes to listen to other stations around the country. Welcome, Zachary, fellow nerdy radio guy.
That's cool.
Very cool. Dave Hines is here. I think he's an LA guy.
He's now what?
I think he's an LA guy.
Oh, Dave? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, last night, for I was making Kurt watch something on the stream from yesterday. And
oh,
I,
guys love that.
I had to wait through a couple commercials, and one of them played. I was like, oh, I like this commercial. I'm like, the voice actor's really good. He was like, okay.
Zachary's from Sioux City, Iowa. All right.
Nice.
I can tell you one reason I know I'm not moving on after this lifetime, why I'm not fully evolved and formed. Andrew brought me some pasta from the kitchen, and he brought me a plastic spoon.
Yes.
And it immediately broke.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And rather than using the scooper feature, I used the stick to eat the pasta.
It was an interesting choice.
Yes.
I did notice that.
And then Wheeler, the genius of the show, goes, maybe if you put the stick inside the manicotti. I'm like, oh, that's a pretty good idea. So I did that.
He saves like stabbing him.
God's watching. He's like, I think Glover's almost out. Never mind.
He needs a little more training. Let's put him with Ramsay next time. Chef Ramsay.
Moses is like, he's using the stick part. Why are you investing so much in this guy? Had another weird one last night. I was watching the baseball game. And do you remember the part where the guy was cutting the turkey? The broadcaster?
I heard he got sick from it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what they...
Oh, that's interesting.
I just saw a story today that his partner thought or said he hopes he didn't get the food poisoning because apparently he felt sick later or something.
Oh, wow.
Because the turkey was not done.
Okay. Well...
It was pink.
During the broadcast, one of the broadcasters was showing the way he cuts a turkey breast, and he cut it up and he goes, this way, everyone can have some delicious skin. And look, I love turkey skin, chicken skin, ham rind. But every now and then, isn't it weird that you go,
yeah,
oh, we're just eating skin?
Yeah.
Like, they got skin, like I got skin. Not exactly the same, but close enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird the things that we just go,
Yeah.
Well, and we're so removed, like, the average person, I should say, is so removed from, like, the killing and cleaning and packaging and selling of the animal that it's really easy to never think about it. But
yeah,
in
so
the
true.
Olden days or what have you, if you're having chicken, you probably just went and got that chicken from your backyard that morning and plucked it yourself.
I am old enough to remember my grandma Smith, my mom's mom, wringing the necks of chickens or whatever they were. Just she was out in the back.
She was doing 40. This move?
Yeah, she was doing that move.
She was doing the Arsenio?
Yep. That was weird. Yeah, they didn't have indoor plumbing until I was alive. Like, they had an outhouse. Scariest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You used it?
I don't remember using it.
But it was there.
My brother was a photographer, and he took some pictures of me in it. Like, I still have those. So I remember it well. And I remember they said, if you ever have to go, just take a big stick and run it around in the hole to make sure the spiders or the mice or whatever don't get you.
Mm.
I was just like, it's the worst thing I can even imagine.
Uh-huh.
Sitting on a cold wooden pot with spiders down there?
Yeah.
Use a big stick?
And I'm supposed to relax?
Yeah. Every time.
I'm supposed to spend 2.5 hours in there? Come on now.
Sears catalog's out there for you to wipe with.
Never realized how much of a city kid I really was until I hear these types of stories.
Yeah.
Well, not really. Suburb. Like, I don't know. We're one of the first. My generation is probably one of the first that is, like, we were just purely suburban raised.
Yeah. It's a good point.
Not in the city, not in the country. My parents probably a little bit of the suburban raised, like the kind of beginning stages of that.
And Rach and Andrew and I are all small town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is another thing.
Yeah.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 134. A new line of Doritos will be in.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
introduced that are protein packed. Evidently, this is going to happen with lots of potato chips and crackers and things like that.
Protein is extremely trendy right now.
Sure is.
But it's also just good for you. I mean, Wheels can attest to that. He eats protein all the time.
It's a protein monster.
All day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What if it tastes worse?
Just depends on how much worse.
Yeah. Because I've had those, there's a brand called Quest.
Yeah, they're all right.
That they have like Doritos-style protein chips. No, they're not as good as a normal Dorito, but if you're having that craving and you want to get the protein in, it's good. I know Starbucks has a bunch of new like protein-infused matcha lattes and regular lattes. Haven't tried those because if I'm getting a coffee, that's not really the time I'm trying to get my protein in. But that being said, like I'll sacrifice a little bit of taste for some extra protein, for sure.
Good time if you want to, Rach. On the show sheet today, you had the argument debate that Chris and Amy had this morning about SNAP benefits. You want to set the stage?
Yeah, I was excited to catch a little bit of this conversation on my drive in to work today on the Chris and Amy show on KMOX because I had seen an article this morning while I was show prepping. Soda, candy, and desserts could be banned under a new... basically, Governor Kehoe's office announced late last month that they wanted to change Missouri's SNAP program. And basically, it would just focus on healthier food and discontinue SNAP eligibility for things like soda, candy, and desserts. This is a tough topic. And again, I really appreciated hearing Chris and Amy talk about it because they were coming at it from different points of view. I understood both of their points of view. From what I was able to catch, it seemed like Amy was all for this. She wants people to be buying healthy food if they're in this situation. And Chris was saying, you know, it's really not my business. I don't want to police what people do. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. I can hold both of those things in my mind.
I get it.
There doesn't seem like there's a right answer. Because ideally, yeah, you do. If someone's using SNAP to buy their groceries, yeah, you want them to be getting like grilled chicken and lettuce and apples and all that stuff. But at the same time, who am I to be like, no, your kid can't have the bag of Skittles at the checkout line. Like you don't deserve that. You're not allowed. Like, okay, if someone wants to make an unhealthy choice, why do I or why does the state of Missouri get to interfere with that? So it's just
I see
tough.
Both sides, yeah. But there's an answer to your query just then.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they get to interfere is because they're paying the money.
Yes.
Which is a big deal because it's millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that if people can't, if they're food insecure and they qualify for SNAP benefits, then we, you know, all this few dollars a day or a year or something are paying for those people to be more food secure. And like I actually went to look at what the law says, and it's right in it that, you know, to reduce hunger and malnutrition by providing low income households with the ability to purchase nutritious food. So I'm more Team Amy on this one. I understand from Ranji's like, oh, I don't care about anything kind of, you know, persona, like let them eat cake. You know, who am I to say they can't have, you know, Cheetos and Twizzlers? And I get that because you don't want to feel like, you don't want to feel like your parents when you were little and they're like, you have to clean your plate or you have to sit here and you can't play baseball.
Right.
So I get that. But at the same time, if you're going to be making policy decisions, shouldn't you be providing the most nutritious food you can?
Yes. The issue is a lot of times people live in what's called a food desert where you don't necessarily have access to the freshest, healthiest foods. So if you go into a grocery store, they're not necessarily going to have, you know, what's in our minds when drafting legislation like this, where it's like, they're only going to eat healthy. Well, what if you can only stop at a gas station that day to get something to eat? You already can't get hot food on SNAP. So now you can't get a fountain soda. You can't get candy or, you know, like a Snickers bar. What's really the difference between like a Snickers bar and some of the protein bars? You know, they're going to do basically the same thing for you. The other concern is when writing up this type of stuff that says like, oh, you have to stay away from this, you are potentially kind of boxing out things like protein bars. We're just talking about protein earlier in the segment. That is something that's healthy and you should be able to purchase if all you're allowed to do is buy healthy foods, but if it's kind of falling into the same category as a candy or whatever, I agree with that. It becomes complicated.
I agree with that, like on that particular issue. And I hate to sound cold-hearted. I hope you guys know, hearing about my life and knowing what I do, I'm not cold-hearted. But, and it's the kind of thing that a guy says when he has a car and enough money to afford DoorDash, whatever he wants. But the fact that you live in a quote-unquote food desert, that sucks. But there are lots of things about people's lives that are challenging and suck. And I don't know that you just go, well, can't win, don't try. It's going to be hard for you to get to a Schnucks or a Deerberg's, so go ahead and eat, you know, Nutter Butters.
The other concern is unhealthy food is typically cheaper than buying like organic stuff, healthy stuff, whatever. So the concern is that your SNAP dollars are not going to stretch as far if we have legislation that says you're confined to healthy food. And if you have three or four kids, that could make a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it feels like there's a middle ground. Maybe only a certain percentage can be used for quote unquote fun items. Maybe it's only 10%. And that way the majority is going to serve it, but then you're still treating people like human beings where they do have some ability to get something they like, get some cookies or buy some ice cream for the kids or whatever. I mean, there's an easy compromise where you could say we need most of this to be stuff that's going to sustain you. And because I think the other public health concern, if you're looking at it from running a state, is crappy food leads to bad health, which leads to more expensive problems down the road from a health perspective. Whether it's from dentistry to obesity to even bigger problems down the road. So, I mean, there's more than one consideration in it. And I don't think it has to be an all or nothing. Unless there's something about the law or something about the process by which the money is processed that makes that difficult to do.
And I think you just touched on something, Wheels. From what I understand, SNAP is like a card you swipe. And
right.
Basically, it's just not going to cover certain categories of food.
Right, right.
As it exists right now, I don't think there's any way to like, oh, you reached your 20% of junk food for the month, no more.
Yeah, maybe you get a separate card.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's also,
that can be used for anything. Like one card is for anything and the other card is only for basics.
The SNAP benefits card is not all the food you're going to eat.
Right, right.
It's not nearly enough.
It's a supplement.
To sustain.
Right.
Yeah. So if this is 25%, 30% of what you eat, I don't have a dog in the fight, but I also don't mind if the state who's paying for it, represented, you know, by us, says, you can't have soda and candy.
Yeah.
You can have all you want with your own money, but this money we're giving you has to be spent on nutritious things.
And I think that's fair. I mean, it sucks when you're in that position, but it's a fair way to look at it. Like, this is not meant to be, it's not built to be fully sustainable for a family all by itself.
Yeah.
It is there to add on, and the only one to add the good stuff. And if you have enough left over from your own funds after that, and you want to buy the cookies and stuff like that, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
But I do think I don't know about the technology, and maybe it's just too expensive to do a separate card or whatever. I get it. But there is, when in any case, and I think we should, by the way, probably exercise this more as citizens for more things too, right? We really seem to care. It's our money. We should be involved. Well, you know what? It's our money that's going to the military too. They don't give us a say. We get nothing to say about that. And it's a lot more money than we're talking about for any SNAP program.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I do think we as taxpayers should always have input as to where our money is going and how it's used, but it should be universal and not issue by issue.
So we've had modern brains for 300,000 years. We've had history for 10,000 years, whatever. We've had the country for 250 years. Do you foresee a time when no one needs this? Or is this just a part of human civilization?
Kind of always has been, hasn't it? Was there a time when that didn't exist?
I mean, there was definitely most of the time when no one helped.
I mean, there was
at least not the state.
So we were talking about it last week, I think, you know, the best economic time to live, not the time, because a lot of people had it bad in the 50s and 60s, right? We didn't have civil rights. I mean, women's rights were not near where they should be. There were a lot of people that had it bad. But from an economic standpoint, the gaps were the smallest. There was a lot more equality than there is now. Maybe it was better then. I haven't stopped, but I guarantee you there were people who were poor. There were people that didn't have enough food. I mean, that just, we know it existed. It's not like it wasn't there. So it must be a part of, not must be, it just is because the nature of us, right?
Yeah.
Some people just can't stop.
Yeah.
Which means there will not be enough for everyone.
Yeah.
Man, regardless of whether or not you think we should be putting restrictions on SNAP like this, it's so interesting to think about the way legislation like this is drafted and the different loopholes you have to make sure to close up so you don't run into the problems like the protein bar and the candy thing. I am so fascinated by that stuff. Just the fact that you have to think through every possible outcome and then something's still probably going to go wrong and you're going to have to fix it at some point.
Yeah, you definitely should have gone to law school. Like you enjoyed. I loved law school. Law school was awesome. You just had these sort of arguments, then you went and drank and played golf.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, if I could have just kept going to law school, done and done. We all want to change the world.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
why
it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS on Camel X. But when you talk about destruction, you know what you're not hearing much about? The shutdown.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been through several shutdowns, and my memory is, like, on a daily basis, they were just fighting. And it was, like, hour to hour. It wasn't even day to day. It was like, let's get this done by midnight.
Yeah, like filibusters on the House floor type deal.
Yeah, and it just seems like both sides are kind of like, okay, this is happening.
Well, they've decided to squarely point the finger at each other.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is going to severely delay getting any work done because both sides refuse to admit that the other one has anything to do with it.
So it looks like they're going to have another vote tonight to fund the government. That's going to happen at about 4:30 p.m. our time. This will be the eighth time they've voted to try and reopen the government. But, of course, they have to reach that 60-vote threshold.
Maybe I'm Pollyannish. Maybe I just don't understand the way things work. Well, not maybe. I don't understand the way things work. I've never been a politician. But this seems like one of those things that we should all be able to agree is off limits. Like, hey, look, we're not going to hold the country hostage and our fighting men and women and people who have benefits and Social Security and federal workers. We're not going to do that. And there should be harsher penalties on everyone in charge, the ones making these decisions or lack of decisions, not getting paid, not getting their health insurance, whatever it happens to be. But there's no downside for them. They're getting everything that they've always gotten, the politicians, and they're just, you know, making hay for their next election, trying to get a soundbite in here and there on CNN or Fox. And I just think that should be off limits.
Well, are they even trying to negotiate? I mean, we have Mr. Art of the Deal in the White House. Where's the deal? Aren't you supposed to be the best deal maker ever? Make a deal. Get the government open. Get people what they're supposed to have. Get things working. Make a deal.
I think,
but we're not allowed.
I think Trump is using it to his advantage.
Yeah.
And Schumer, did you catch what he said a couple days ago? He was caught saying, every day this gets better and better for us.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
Not a good look.
Why is this hard, man? Well, I know why it's hard, because total victory is the only acceptable outcome for anybody.
Right.
Like, we got to win. We
so true.
And you know what? You're not winning when you're ruining people's lives.
Kev, let's
How many thousands of jobs have they just eliminated?
Let's not let that pass. That is so simple, but so important. Is in my lifetime, in probably the last 20, 25 years, as a paradigm shift, we've gone from, hey, I may not like you, I may disagree with you, but we both agree we're going to work this out. We're going to compromise. And then at some point, I'm not sure which side shot first, but that became not just not acceptable, that's wrong. Compromise is wrong.
It's weak.
You want to get everything right now. And as I've said many times, it's so strange to me that, because most things mirror everything else. Nothing else in your life is like that. You don't get everything you want. No one gets everything they want. No one gets close to everything you want. You're lucky if you get half and half. If Rach and I are negotiating on something, you're lucky to get 50%. But somehow in the last 25 years, like Phoebe and your nieces, like they're not going to know that that's how it used to be. They're just going to think, oh, this is what you do. You try and get everything.
It's amazing in a country of 330 million people that we don't have enough interest in running things for everyone. I mean, like when you look at the presidential election, 77.3 million people voted for Donald Trump. 75 million voted for Kamala Harris. So what's the difference? What percentage difference? It was 49.8 to 48.3%. Now, we know that that it's not decided by popular vote. That's not the argument, right? We know that it was in the, what do you call it? The Electoral College. We know that it was a huge electoral win, right? It was 312 to 226. Not debating any of that. Just talking about the practicality that at least 48% of people that vote in this country did not vote for what's happening now. And it's okay. When you win, you get to have the power, but you still need to govern everyone. And there is no more. So, what's crazy is the slogan is make America great again. You should be making it great for everyone.
Yeah.
Not just for people that decided that you were right.
Maybe I don't have strong enough convictions. Maybe that's the problem. But I just don't have anything in me that if I won, that I would be like, okay, now everyone's going to be bald and get DoorDash all the time. And like, I would have no thought that you are going to be like me.
Yeah.
You would just be, okay, you're going to live your life. I'm going to live my life. I think we got it right in the beginning, for the most part, with the Constitution. You know, freedom of speech, freedom of religion.
And from. Yep.
It just kind of made sense. And we found a way to dick it all up.
Well, you know, we don't love to see the plan. You asked me for a contribution.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.